morning, everyone. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to season two of Film Picnic.
You threw me off there with the season two, but welcome back, guys.
I had to mention it. Let's begin as we always do with a land acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll do it. Sorry. We begin as always by acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. This land is referred to as unceded territory as it was not given up freely, and it continues to be home for the indigenous communities from which it was stolen.
Yes, it is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and tell our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. This always was and always will be indigenous land.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be here today.
Oh my goodness. It was a journey this morning. We're rusty.
This morning specifically.
We're starting an hour and 50 minutes after we first were supposed to arrive.
But you know what? I feel like for all the planning that we've done, because we've been on hiatus. Let's start with that. We've been on hiatus.
We've been on hiatus from recording, but still meeting.
We haven't been recording, but Han and I have our texts
constant
lasted every single day. Yes.
Yes. 100%.
The original guest, we were going to have somebody different today. And then that kind of, you know, didn't end up working out, which is honestly so fine because
we had some kinks to work out.
We had
first
some
of all.
Kerfuffles. But I feel like it's all led us to this moment.
It is all led us to this moment.
And to be honest, I feel like the vibes in the studio are very good.
They're immaculate. We have an extra person in the studio today who's going... That was
weird. Trying to bite the mic, sorry.
That was odd, but that's fine.
No, we'll just move past it.
Who is going to be with us for all of season two and hopefully beyond.
Beautiful.
Well,
before we introduce them.
Okay.
Can we just tell the people what we've been plotting?
Okay. So let's start off with immediately after our hiatus started. December.
We're in Whistler for the Film Festival. That was our last episode.
We met some wonderful people.
Some amazing people. We just filmed so much. We were filming, we were meeting people, we were talking to people. Just so many passionate conversations about film,
yes.
Which is the entire point.
Yes.
And I was just really, truly enjoying that. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. Now we've got all that content to be working with and, you know, bringing to you guys. Our wonderful editor, Jill. Peace and love, Jill.
Peace and love to Jill.
Editing
our reels. If you haven't checked out our Instagram, please check her out at FLM Picnic.
At FLM Picnic. Yeah, just great. We've got some Whistler content up there.
We're also starting to post on TikTok, which is like...
Which is crazy.
Neither Georgia nor I have TikTok, so it's like a laptop situation. We had Jill start an account for us.
I literally tried to get it on my phone and I couldn't because I...
You're American. I was about to say how embarrassing. I'm so sorry.
Well, just TikTok things.
Yes.
Let me let you talk.
Georgia. So please. Never apologize.
Well, just we've got some things like people that we met at Whistler Film Festival.
Guys,
now are collaborating with.
Announcement. I guess we can officially announce because we've signed a contract.
Yes, we have.
We are partnering with Doc National this season to host approximately 10 episodes for them, and it's a checklist series. And we're
Series on documentary filmmaking.
So as much as we are going to change the format of this season to being every other week with our guest episodes, we are also going to be having documentary checklist episodes done with different documentary filmmakers, which will be kind of like between those episodes, which are so exciting.
So there will just be so much to listen to, which I think we're really excited about. And on a personal note, documentary is like probably one of my favorite,
and that's what I work in
genres
right now.
To dip into. Yeah,
so I feel like I have a lot to say.
It's very appropriate for us at this moment.
It is.
We've got the Doc National stuff coming up. All of our peace and love to the Crazy Eights team.
Oh my goodness, we'll be
working the blue
community
carpet.
Sponsors,
community partners,
community partners.
yes, Crazy Eights. So we've been in prep for that.
Yeah.
We hosted a pre-production workshop at CITR, which was cute. Crash Test Cinema, shout out.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful.
Hosted our first Creative Jam, which was like a networking event.
Yes.
Was that yesterday?
Two days ago.
Gosh,
it's Monday.
The days are blending together.
We know what day it is.
Yes, we do know what day it is. It's Monday. We had a photo shoot.
For season two, which also we're just like so excited. There's just been, we haven't been recording, but so many things have been happening. And
we've been preparing
for
this moment. we've expanded our team.
And we've expanded the team. On that note, we have a guest that we would love to have come join us on the picnic blanket. That's your cue. We didn't give an official code word.
Wait, let's turn your mic on.
Hello.
Hey!
Oh my gosh! Surprise! Is as if I'm going to edit it to look as if Ethan just appeared.
Hi!
What's up, guys? Allow me to give you an introduction. Okay. Maybe we're going to have to edit this.
No, we are, but that's fine.
In chronological order. Our guest today hails from Treaty 6 territory in Alberta, also known as Edmonton. This non-binary artist, director, actor, cinematographer, editor, writer, all-around filmmaker has been involved with Film Picnic from the very beginning, since the
honestly,
filming of our trailer video.
Before.
Since, you know, they've
we'll
always
get
been
into that.
They've always
we'll
been
get
here.
Into that.
Now taking more active role with our videography and our visual production aspects, currently finishing a BFA in visual arts. But they're also well-versed in a range of artistic disciplines. Taekwondo, dance, animation.
Black belt?
Indeed.
Photography, game
Crazy.
Design. Please welcome
Ethan
White.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here every time.
Yes. So Ethan is our videographer now. Ethan is the reason that we have better lighting and two cameras that are working. Thank you so much, Ethan. Ethan also shot our very first promo shoot and
has been mentioned in almost every episode.
Yeah, literally.
From one way or another.
Literally. In our first episode, we were talking about how Film Picnic came to be.
Yes, and I was like, I had originally in this very studio, I think in this very studio, we sat in rolly chairs and I was like, what's up, Ethan? let's
great.
Talk into the microphones.
Let's talk film.
I've been a fan ever since.
And then I just refused to learn Audacity. But you know what? We're
so
here
fair.
Today.
I also want to apologize. Guys, also on another note, we are on YouTube now. Hi, if you're a
YouTube.
Video listener. I'm experiencing hay fever, so that's why I'm scratching my nose. I just had
what
two.
What is hay fever?
You don't know what hay fever is? Uh-uh. Neither of you know what hay fever is? Oh.
Is it like whooping cough? Is it like of the olden times?
No, it's allergies.
Don't.
It's just like okay. I'm just my nose is itchy. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh,
I just
weird.
Wanted
okay.
to. Anyway,
not
really
cough.
That relevant. No, it's not whooping cough.
Okay, great.
Thank God.
Honestly, that'd be awkward if you had whooping cough. That'd be
yeah.
That
isn't
would
that
be,
contagious?
That would make a.
That,
you know
that
what?
Babies.
That's one thing we don't bring to a picnic.
Is whooping cough.
What do you bring
Precisely.
To a picnic? Ethan,
the
first question for you.
What? Orange juice.
Oh.
I
okay.
feel like everyone could benefit from that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a hot take. Do you not think it's too acidic?
Orange juice?
Yeah.
That's too acidic?
Do you have acid reflux?
I just don't. I guess I just don't drink juice. You know what? I like pomegranate juice, but it makes my mouth feel dry. This
okay.
discourse isn't necessary. I'm so sorry.
That sounds like a symptom of hay fever, to be honest.
Sounds like you have whooping cough. Oh, goodness.
How do we know Ethan?
How do we know Ethan?
I'm going to get emotional.
Aw. That's so sweet.
I basically lived in Ethan's dorm in first year.
Yeah.
That's how I know Ethan. I love Ethan. Yeah. I was telling Georgia last night how you were like such just like a safe person.
We were
you are
this,
a safe
actually.
Person, but you're just like, I remember in first year, anytime I'd be like, I need to go. You'd be like, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
I'll walk you home. And I'm like, thanks, Ethan.
Ethan was the invisible bridge connecting Hannah and I.
Yeah.
Like, Hannah and I hadn't met each other, but we both knew Ethan, and then I had, like, seen Hannah's face in Ethan's films, and it was like an interesting phenomenon. Ethan and I met in class. They were wearing a skirt, and I was like, I want to be their friend, and I guess if I see someone and I'm like, I'm going to be their friend, I just...
Yeah,
like,
you're... That's something
you,
that...
Like, I'm going to befriend
you. You are a very good... You're good at... introducing yourself to people.
Thanks.
One would say you were friendly.
One would say
and,
that.
And that's a good
two
adjective.
Would say that.
We would say that.
We would say that. We would say that.
I, well, yeah, let's, so Ethan is, well, let me just, yeah.
The
okay,
real
I'm
MVP.
Like, I'm like, how far
an
back
icon,
do you want
to
go?
A lovely human, an artist in all forms.
In all forms. Let's start with your directorial. Let's start there. Because you've got, I mean, to be honest, like, you've got a fair... even at this young age, at this sprite young age, you've got.
Of
I mean, you've 20 got some.
Are you 23?
Yeah, I
that's
forgot about
actually
it for a second,
insane.
Yes,
what
recently.
The heck?
the first happy time
birthday.
I saw...
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
It was last month, guys. Was it on the 23rd?
It was on the 13th.
Excuse me.
Bless. My champagne birthday came very early.
Yeah. My champagne birthday was 2 years ago. Sorry, not relevant.
That's good, though. That's good. Mine was 17. Okay. Dancing Queen, young and sweet.
Oh, that was my favorite age.
Yeah, real. It's the 17th today that we're filming this, February. Is it? Or is
it
my
is.
Calendar wrong?
No, you're right.
You're right.
Okay, wait. Flyman. Because that's where I first saw Hana.
True.
And we went back and watched clips of
we
it
yesterday. We watched clips of it yesterday.
Can you tell us a little bit about Chocolate Milk, our collective, what that's meant for you?
Yeah, totally.
Coming from Edmonton.
It was. It's an Edmonton-born creature. Yep. Chocolate Milk Art Collective, I guess long and short, is a film production company, but that's very, very loose use of that term. It was started between three friends in high school. It was me, myself, and I. No, I'm
sorry. Me and my three personalities.
It was myself, Skylar Somnus, who also acted in Flyman, and Brian Martinez. We all went to the same arts high school. It was a public
what
arts.
Is the quotation mark for?
Well, it was a public school.
Okay.
But it just happened to have like an extremely well-funded arts program. It was like the
right.
most liberal, you know, squishy, chewy high school in all of Edmonton, which
yeah.
is, you know, more of a conservative place than somewhere like out here.
Yeah.
What did you describe? We were at Creative Jam and the
yeah.
place that the film
the
that we were watching,
middle?
Universal Language was set in.
Yeah, in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. But what did you describe? Yeah, you
said Edmonton was the chewy liberal center of Alberta. Because
yes.
it's the only orange riding. Anyway, sorry,
anyways.
Politics. But yes, yeah, it was, the company was started between us three. And it was just essentially because mm-hmm. we wanted, there wasn't a creative community in Edmonton really for filmmaking at all. And we really wanted there to be. So it was just mm-hmm. like between the three of us, we'll like bounce ideas, we'll come together to create things.
Mm-hmm.
So we made, I think, maybe three or four films in Edmonton before y'all moved, and we all ended up just moving out to Vancouver.
That's sweet.
So it's like it's completely relocated. We're all out here now and we're continuing to work on it. And the first film of which shot in Vancouver was Flyman in first year with Hana, as well as Skylar Somnus, who was also acting as the lead.
Mm-hmm. What are your specific credits for Flyman?
Everything.
Crafty.
Director.
Transport.
Editor. Yeah. Cinematographer.
Writer.
Yeah.
Not composer.
Well, yeah,
Kobe
I was gonna
Stockdale,
say. Oh,
goated Edmonton composer and
period.
Artist, theater artist.
Shout out.
Colby Stockdale composed the music, which is unbelievable.
It's fantastic, guys. Slade.
Yeah, it was. I essentially did a lot.
Yeah,
there was a lot of prep
everything.
Work in that film. That was like, I feel like I learned a lot from working with you in your artistry. Like, we shot. Are we allowed to say that we shot where we shot?
Yeah.
So we shot.
You got away with it.
Yeah. It's fine. The house is gone now. But we shot Flyman in an abandoned mansion.
The city of Vancouver is going to listen to this podcast and come after us.
Guys.
That's so
I'm sorry I put you guys through that. Like, in retrospect, sometimes I think back and I'm like, damn, I really brought you guys, like,
to, like, a
into
burned
danger.
Down house. Yeah, no, but do you know what? It was a beautiful experience. Like, we went there a few times to scout it. We practiced the shots because Flyman is supposed to be floating the whole time.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it was kind of figuring out how to make that happen, to make it look like they were...
They never touched
flying.
The line.
They never...
The
yeah,
movie.
Exactly.
Okay.
I had a great time.
Amazing.
I had a great time.
And then, so after Flyman, the Tap Dancing Fish, was that the next big project of the collective?
Yeah, we did a couple things that were kind of like, are still lost in like post-production limbo that have yet to come out.
As it goes.
Same, me too.
Yeah.
Three's a crowd, where is she?
Soon.
Well.
Eventually. In the next couple years, maybe we'll see that film. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the, because I know Tap Dancing Fish was through FilmSoc. Can you tell us what that process was like? Just in a
FilmSoc being Film Society here at UBC,
yes.
Which is like
not a sock of movies.
How would you describe Film Society? I feel like it's heavily like film studies.
Yeah, film enthusiasts.
Film enthusiasts, cinephiles.
So excited about
yeah.
films. They do screenings all the time.
They produce 2 films a year?
Yes, but they also do produce 2 films
yeah.
a year, 2 student films that are short films written by UBC students. They're granted, I think when I got the grant, it was $1,500.
Okay.
And I think since it's increased, so it's like it's they're
That's
very,
good.
Very
mm.
enthusiastic
That's nice.
About independent filmmaking here.
Yeah.
But yeah, the process was cool. I had written the script for class, and it was just like, I felt really confident in it. I thought, oh, it's a contest, I might as well like throw it in, not really expecting much. And then at one point, somebody sent a post to me that had announced me as a winner. And
oh, like, without even informing you. That's so funny.
That's really just quite interesting.
It was really just quite interesting. Tagline of the film.
Tagline.
That's really just quite interesting.
It's really just quite interesting.
But we had also shot me and Skylar Saunders, who was like the other like main creator of the Tap Dancing Fish together. We had shot a demo of the fish, just like putting on the mask, the Amazon mask we bought of the fish.
There you go.
And like dancing around our neighborhood, and we had all this like this content. We had this whole story. We had this whole rich world that we had kind of developed together.
Yeah.
And then got involved with FilmSock, and then they suddenly were like, oh, well, let's actually make it happen in all these kinds of ways. And they kind of like stepped into the picture in a way that I really didn't expect.
Yeah.
It caught me kind of off guard in some ways.
I mean, because I feel like Flyman, for example, was just done at a completely different scale and in a completely different way. I love the way that you make your films. It's very, I don't know, it's just comfortable and cozy and like friends making movies together. And not that, I mean, I wasn't a part of Tap Dancing Fish because I was shooting Three's a Crowd at the same time, but not that it wasn't a community of friends making a film, but I just know it was like suddenly there was a lot of different hands on board.
And the Film Society gives you a producer, which is like a pretty key. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
The rumors are true.
No, it's true. Yeah, yeah. We had a producer named Jasmina who stepped in, who's a brilliant friend.
I've worked on one of her productions before.
The world is so small. Like, I don't know how something, I clicked on something. She follows like one person that I know from Australia who's studying like fashion design at school. I'm just like, what? The world is so small.
The world is so small.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's, well, okay. So like, what would you say maybe Flyman, early Chocolate Milk Art Collective projects, Tap Dancing Fish, like what do you come out of those experiences now equipped with and going forward into what you're doing?
I feel like it's completely informed my attitude towards filmmaking in the way that it's like, there is just always a way to get the shot. It doesn't matter how much money you have, and it definitely doesn't matter how much help you have.
Like, okay.
There is always a way to do the movie that you have in your head. Like, I don't know why we made things so hard on ourselves for our entire, like, filmography, but, like, shooting films where, like, the character doesn't touch the ground ever on, like, a student shoestring budget. And, you know, having an anthropomorphic fish that doesn't talk be our main character in the next one. And then, like... who also tap dances and needs to know how to do that for some reason.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if you have the enthusiasm and the willingness to like lean into it, there's just always a way to do it. And so often on bigger film sets, and even to the scale of like, I worked on an Apple commercial as a PA.
Yeah.
And even to that scale, it's like, man, there's a lot of people standing around not doing a lot. And there's a lot of like, there's so much effort being and structure being put into these things that can just be done a certain way if you just like look at it with a little bit of creativity.
Yeah, sometimes I find that when you have the budget, or when you have a budget, period, like, that in itself can be a hindrance sometimes, because you're like, oh, well, we don't have time for this because we're spending this much money on this camera, and, like, it's going to cost so much extra to get this lighting pole to make sure that we have this, but we're, when you're just doing it with your camera and your low budget, whatever, you're like, well, we have the time and the space to play, because there's five of us here, and it's not like we are taking 30 people's 12-hour day, you know what I mean?
And that's where the magic happens, is in the play. In being able to like sink into it and get unity with it, and like really, really like just be in community. Like it when it's a collective effort, everything, all efforts are tripled, quadrupled, like everything 100%, comes out better.
100%. That's what I loved about D-Lan as well. Ethan Ethan starred transition. In my thesis film that we shot in January, and
it was beautiful.
Thank you.
I also got to be there.
Oh,
I
yeah.
There
Georgia did
BTS,
all of the BTS.
Which was honestly
it was great.
Very
I
fun.
Learned a lot about myself watching the videos of me just directing and like not. I make so many random sounds. Love it, though.
It was great.
There was so much like play that happened before we even got to camera with just the actors. And I loved that. Like, we learned how to play poker together. We just, I wanted to play with improv. So I was like, guys, let's be besties. Let's be friends. We're going to hang out forcefully, but it wasn't forcefully.
Real.
Enthusiastically.
You guys go bowling?
We did not go bowling.
We played pinball, though.
We did play pinball. That was fun.
I guess I'm just thinking about bowling. Never mind, then.
That's okay. We played pinball in the location that we were supposed to shoot at. Okay. At Slice of Life Gallery, and that was really fun. And, yeah, I loved being able to play. And then the improv that came from that play on set was like, oh, my God, all the shots are literally, like, 10 minutes long. Mm. It was great. It's great. There's so much to
play
with.
How are you going to edit it? How?
I don't know. I have a session tomorrow with...
I'm glad I'm not there. It would break my heart.
Oh, it's so hard. Well, the current film is 25 minutes, and I need to cut it to 15. And I'm like, but there's so much more that I want to see. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I'm going to make a director's cut.
I don't know. Ethan, like, how do you... What prompted you to kind of cross to the other side of the camera? Because you didn't. Did you start acting or did you start directing more?
Well, I guess
before you answer that question, sorry to cut you off.
No.
When you went to, can I say your school's name?
Yeah.
Vic.
Yeah, it's Victoria School of the Arts. Yeah. Not in Victoria, in Edmonton.
Yeah. Did
named
you
after,
know
I think Queen Victoria?
Oh, but, probably.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. So did you city. Like? Was that your decision to go to an art school specifically?
Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm. I went to like almost every open house in Edmonton, trying to find a school with a dance program. I wanted to be a dancer.
Real.
Wow, you
Ethan
can
and
really
I
dance.
Have Ethan and I have. I feel like we've breakdanced together before. Yeah. We've done a little bit.
Ethan
of that.
Is a fantastic dancer.
Well, that's kind of yeah.
Oh shucks.
No, you can bust a move. That's real.
Yeah,
that's
no,
really real.
That's what I was looking for. And my sister is a photographer, still in the Calgary area.
Artistic family.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Dad's a drummer.
Whoa.
But yeah, so I was like around cameras a bunch, but I didn't really want it. Like I would always model for her growing up, just as a teenager and as like a young adult. So I was around cameras a lot, but I was like definitely more used to just performing, and like I would bend myself in weird shapes. She's a very abstract photographer, not like a pretty. So
with
I was
the
like,
waves.
Yeah, with the waves on Instagram. Yeah. But she would always like get me to do weird stuff with my body, and then I was like, oh, I like dancing. Like I like hip hop. I wanted to be a breakdancer. I wanted to, and then I did ballet and contemporary in high school. It's like what I came for is to get more of a dance education.
That technique.
Well, I've seen you dancing on stage in your high school performances.
That's true. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Exposed.
In a positive way.
In a positive way. Reveal.
Yeah. I've seen. I know what you're capable of.
I twitch. So you're no stranger to being in front of the camera.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's easy though. I have such a hard time being in front of the camera.
Really?
Yeah.
How did it feel? Because I remember you were saying, like, post-D-Lan, you were like, oh, I need to let go of that character.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm sure that every actor, like, needs to do a certain ritual to, like, shed the character and become themselves again if they, like, allow that to come into themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a very abstract kind of relationship you have with the character you're trying to embody. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, definitely it's, like, I had to let go of Connell because like Connell was just so quippy, and they also like Connell doesn't really have any problems in their life. And then I like got back into my schedule and I was like, I can't be treating things with such lightness. They're like, oh, forget
it's
it.
It's not
I'll
so
it
easy
later.
Breezy.
No, yeah. It's like, I gotta lock in.
There is harm in putting off a piece of work till another day.
Real. The difficult, difficult lemon, difficult instead of easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, difficult, difficult lemon, difficult.
Rolls off the tongue. Rolls right off the tongue.
I was like, what are you talking about? what are you freestyling? Saying, Georgia?
Goodness, yeah. You're so talented. Wow.
Oh. Triple just, threat. Just quadruple threat.
Multidisciplinary. Do you have, like... Okay, so personally, if I read a script, sometimes... I'm not an actress, but sometimes I am, like...
What?
Sometimes I feel like I get a little... inkling, like, oh, I'm connecting with this specific character for whatever reason. Like, reading a script, do you, in your mind, be like, oh, I think this is something that I could direct, or this is something I want to act in, or like, I don't know, do you ever, I guess it's just interesting to think about kind of the intersection of, you know, having different strengths and being able to hop into multiple roles on a set. Like, I don't know, where does it begin with the script?
It's interesting because I've never ever directed something that I didn't write.
I can't imagine.
which is in the film industry that's what directing all the time. Is like you yeah. are you're not usually the writer and the director. That's a very like strange outlier case.
That's usually very indie.
So it's interesting because that's the only experience I've had.
Are you you're directing a little something?
A little something, something.
I am directing something. A little something.
Ethan's being commissioned to direct a little something, something.
A little something.
Yeah, a little something. It's going to be at the Chan Center on March 9th. Mm. It's part of an event called Get Classical with Ian Parker.
Oh, Get Classical.
Okay, Ian.
Renowned Parker. Classical musician.
Okay.
So it's just a classical music concert, and they've commissioned artists to make visualizers and films for the various pieces of music.
Oh, wow.
They gave me a piece of music called Hungarian Dances No. 5.
I know that one very well.
Like Mambo No. 5, but Hungarian Dances.
Same vibe. and yeah, I'm one of them. And I'm directing a little something, a little dance movie, a little witch movie.
Love witches.
Yeah. Sorry, I very much like diverted the conversation, but I was like, I need to plug. We need to plug your
That'd
project.
Yeah, March 9th?
March 9th.
Copy that, put it in my schedule.
Well, but scripts. Reading a script.
Yes.
Thinking about what you... how you're going to interact with it or how you're going to engage with it.
Do they usually come to you?
Who?
the script grows legs and walks over.
I don't know what that question meant. But, like, I mean, I'm assuming at this level when someone brings a script to you, they might already have an idea of what they want in terms of your role or participation.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Or it's something that, like, it happens both ways.
Yeah.
I was a grip, just a grip on... Ballad of a Native Man,
yeah.
which is Penny, one of Penny's films, who they shot a couple weeks ago. And I had just reached out because it was about an indigenous man in Alberta, rural Alberta, who, you know, goes through this whole journey, and it's a Western, and it was, like, all these things that were, like, really hitting close to my core.
Yeah, it's that was like, fucking, I mean, pardon me.
It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. And I just like really needed to be a part of it. And so I reached out and I was like so enthusiastic. Anything, I'll do anything.
That's awesome.
I just want to be there. I'm so glad I was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens in both directions. Sorry.
No. No.
I wanted to say that in the past I have written things and I've had difficulty when it came to the casting part because it was like, oh, I know exactly how I want this played. Like, I would be so happy to, like, step into this role.
Yeah.
But then, like, directing and acting in the same thing is unbelievably...
difficult.
Like, I've lost so much hair doing
it. I wanted to act in D-Land. Like, I wanted to so badly. Drinking Licorice at Night, that's what it's called. We just call it D-Land.
Yeah,
it's called Drinking Licorice at Night is the name of my thesis film. I adapted it from one of my besties' short stories. But Yan Fei Camp, shout out. Yeah, I really wanted to act in it, but I like sat with that thought and it was just like there's too many moving parts. Like to direct at that scale with 30 people on set to... not be able to see the camera and then not be able to, like, direct yourself in the scene is just... I would love to do it one day, but honestly, no. I'd rather write and produce something that I act in and have someone else direct it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yes.
Real.
That's the goal.
I mean, I will say, too, I think, like, being BTS on that set and just observing you work... honestly, BTS, like... criminally underrated. I'm going to say that. Criminally underrated role to be on a film set.
It's so important.
To just have a camera and just be capturing, especially on a set like Drinking Licorice at Night, that was just like the community was there, the vibe was there. Like it was very much supportive and friendly and like warm. I don't know, which I think both of you would probably very much agree with.
I'm so glad you think so. That was the goal.
but even
me
just,
bouncing off the wall.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. I was like, even just having observed you work, I was like, I have no idea. Like, I don't think it would have been feasible to
act in it.
To
as
act
well.
In it also. I mean, I'm sure you would have been amazing as you.
No,
are
no,
when
no,
you act,
no.
But it, like,
thank you.
There was already so much going on.
Yeah.
And it was like. The little group of four, the four characters that are at
the core awesome
of the film.
Awesome foursome.
is that your official name?
The awesome foursome. Yeah, we named ourselves.
I just came up with it just now.
Oh, just
off the top of my head. Can you believe it?
I'm surprised you guys didn't come up with some kind of, like, I would have thought you guys would have, like, a handshake or some kind of, like.
We should have done that.
Yeah, there was too many politics between the characters.
Yeah, there was, like, so much tension. There was a lot of baggage.
Between the actors, it was great.
Yeah.
There you go. Which is what you want.
Yeah.
I'm just that was a beautiful thing to be a part of.
And thank you for having me to be a part of.
Thank you for being a part of it.
Because it was great.
Thank you for being, thank you. Oh my God. Thank both of you. I went through every single BTS clip and I cried and it was so good. And I can't wait to like put it together in a little vlog style video. Speaking of which, I'm going to make my return to YouTube at the end of my degree.
I didn't know this.
This is new information. Yeah, I had like a few people on set be like, I used to watch your YouTube, like the first and second years, be like, I used to watch your YouTube videos and like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait, stop. Now that I feel like I have an evolved opinion on life, that at 18, I was like, I feel like everything I say right now, I'm going to change my mind in like a month. I still might, but I feel like after my degree is done and I'm just doing my business masters, I'm going to need an outlet. Mm. And that outlet will be me in my room talking to a camera and posting it up for the world to see.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Before we take a little quick break, after the break, we'll probably talk a little bit more about acting, if that's okay. While we're still on the topic of directing, for our listeners who perhaps have never directed before and maybe would like to get into it or are making their first forays into the world of directing, what advice do you have to offer, if anything? I know it's a very general question, but I know it's the responsibilities really run the gamut. So
no, seriously,
just from experience,
they do run the gamut, Georgia.
Do you not like that phrase?
No, I do. I just Georgia says it all the time, and I love it.
Oh,
sorry.
No. I would say like first and foremost, like, be respectful and be enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. The people, like, you do need to work with people. I know I have like a terrible habit of assigning myself every single job that I feel like I can do so that I can carry the most amount of weight on set. Mm-hmm. But that is not always the best thing for anybody, definitely not yourself.
So maybe a bit of learning how to delegate.
Yeah, well, definitely learn how to delegate, but also ask people that you love to work with you and be super stoked about it. And then the third step, the hardest one to do that everybody always has trouble with, is do it. Like, actually make the movie. Does not matter if you have the money for it. You do not need the equipment for it. You do not need anything to make a movie. You need an actor, and you need an idea, and you have a phone, probably, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So, truly, and that goes in hand with Crash Test Cinema, which we, you know, all of us were a part of making.
Yes, this
earlier.
Is what we did our little workshop for, and Ethan was a huge, just everything.
Yeah, through CITR.
Yeah.
It was like a filmmaking incubation program. There were three workshops, equipment, mm-hmm. pre-production, and script writing, mm-hmm. I think. And then there was 10 days of filming, and it was just people signed up and then mm-hmm. learned some stuff and made some films.
First time filmmakers. It had to be on the phone. And
okay. They were all filmed on phones.
All on mobile.
Wow. Love that.
And they're all brilliant. Like, they're all so
very
well
funny.
Done. And it was like,
well,
a really
not all of it, but
yes, yeah.
No, there was one that was definitely more serious, and that was the tone of it. But
it was like a litmus test to be like, is it really true that you can make a movie with these few things, and then like made these brilliant, brilliant films? And it's like just
yes.
so true.
Yeah.
That what you need to do is make the movie. Like,
you don't need much to start.
And you'll have more ideas.
Yeah. So, sometimes limitations are like. Yeah. Really helpful in being creative, and because if you could do anything and use all the CGI in the world, like, that's like too much. Mm-hmm. Too much.
I feel like that's very much like going to write something and just having a blank page in front of you, having no limits, having no structure. Like, sometimes it's helpful to have a prompt. Sometimes it's helpful to
have someone use your phone. You can only use this certain lens.
Or know that you can only film in your house.
Yeah. Sometimes it's helpful to have no money.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, okay, well, what can I do in one room?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
can I put that?
Saw 5.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't seen the fifth one. The Saw franchise.
Why did you say
that? And everything like that.
Saw 1. How did I immediately go to 5? I don't know. Why did that pop into my mind? I don't know. Who knows?
I think that's wonderful advice.
Yeah.
Just start.
Truly. Just start. Just do
it. And also, like what you said on being enthusiastic, like, you really need to be the one that's enthusiastic about your project, because not that other people won't be, but like, your enthusiasm and your passion for it is going to inspire others. And also, as the director and the producer, whatever, like, as one of the key roles, like, you really set the tone for the vibes on the set. So mm-hmm. if you're like, this isn't working, and you're all angry and stressed, everyone's going to be angry and stressed. So being a pleasant person to work with and work under and work alongside I think is major.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. Okay. On that note, Jordan needs to take a quick nap, and we're going to take a quick break.
Well, can I have one more story before we go to break?
Oh, so sorry. Yes.
Well, what you were saying about, like, there is a way to get the shot. I directed a very short film called Discordant that was about a man that's haunted by a barbershop quartet. Or his anxiety physically manifests as a barbershop quartet that's, like, chasing him around. So. And I really... Again, it was like no money, no resources. I ordered hats on Amazon, and it was really, yeah, the aesthetics of it were not incredibly rich. But I was like, I really wanted this tracking shot, and I was like, I don't have a dolly. What are we gonna do? Me on a skateboard holding the camera, one of the cameras that's literally filming us right now.
There you go.
Someone like pushing me from the back, like on the skateboard holding the camera, just like, again, probably looked insane.
But thank you got God, the shot. But, wait, I still haven't seen this film.
Oh, I got to show it to you.
You do?
Yeah. No, but again, it's just, I mean, it's not high quality, and it's kind of honestly just the goofiest thing. But I was like, yeah, I was in a class, and they were like, come up with an idea. And I was like, you know what? Barbershop quartets have been in my mind lately.
I love that.
And I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about anxiety, and like, this was the idea. And then the group members got on board. I was like, this is my idea. And they were like, that's awesome. Let's not to... toot my own horn
as you should. This is the space to toot away, please.
But it just sorry. It just anyways, yeah, there's if there's a will, there's a way, period. Mm. It's so real.
This is so true. On that note
anyways,
when if there's a will, there's a way, and we are going to go away and take a quick break, and we will be back with you shortly.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me
wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue. We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music sessions. Run for them life when I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
It's Nardwar, a human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo, doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Welcome, I'm Steve Joaquin.
do, tamse. Ichuao, iswao.
Ahlo, sahla.
I'm at Skype.
Bienvenido.
Una ti.
Jack Tunal, Tai Titan.
You are invited to volunteer for Spicesisim Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself. Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm or visit the Spicesisim Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver. Woo. I'm Hannah.
I'm Georgia.
And you're listening to Film Picnic.
Season 2, Episode 1.
Well, thank you for the clarification. We are here with our wonderful guest, Ethan White. Ethan White.
That was true to my roots. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome.
Independent filmmaker, actor, just director, producer,
taekwondo, black belt, dancer.
Break dancer.
Artist, creative.
Smiler,
friend, never a foe. What else?
How wordsmith.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what they were waiting for.
Wordsmith. Dropped wordsmith.
We are going to talk a little bit about acting in this final segment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we mentioned that you played Connell in my most recent thesis film, and you absolutely ate that up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that character? Maybe what your prep was like, how you got into it?
There are no correct answers. Just no, I'm kidding.
Hannah's like, yes, speak on it.
Absolutely. I guess I want to start off by saying that my partner, Harmela, was
stunning, amazing, incredible. I literally jump up and down every time I see Harmela.
A powerhouse of a human being, not just an artist.
She's going to have to be on this picnic at some point.
Yes,
as well.
Was playing Willow, another character in the quartet, or the fantastic foursome, whatever you call
it. Awesome foursome.
There you go.
That we had. And I really, really wanted to act alongside Harmela for this production. So that was like a huge motivator for me. And a lot of what informed Connell's character came from the relationship that me and Harmela have in real life, in the way that we allow each other to play in our relationship and allow each other like a very, very safe space to experiment, to mess around, be weird, goofy, take risks with each other. So that like helped so much with allowing Connell to feel like a comfortable character, because Connell is a super comfortable character. Like,
Connell takes up space.
They take up space and they're so graceful with it, but they are also like, they have no worries, but they're also like the bridge and the glue between all these different characters that are like kind of at odds in some ways with each other.
Yeah.
And then there's just me not having any problems, which allows other people to feel like they don't have so many problems.
Yeah.
Which is also like difficult for me to do, because I mentioned like it's difficult for me to be in front of camera. Like, I am a nervous, very, very nervous, very insecure, and very awkward person in real life. Mm. And it's difficult. And it's difficult for me to project onto these confident, comfortable like characters that like have no worries or no like issues to like project. So that's just a difficult thing, but like so much of that strength came from me and Harmela being there together. And then obviously, as time went on, being with Paula and Anthony, who are the other two stars of the quartet, like our relationship as friends became so integral to the relationship of the characters that it just became a bigger, queerer, more comfortable, romantic version of myself.
Yeah.
And also, Connell being a queer character also allowed me to be the full range of myself. It allowed me to access a bunch of different modes of performance that I wouldn't be able to if I was confined to being a male character like I have been in the past.
Because I remember you were expressing to me when auditioning, you were like, hey, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you kind of expressed your desire to play a non-binary character that didn't need to be confined by the like box of being like a masculine man that needs to like whatever. And I was like, obviously, of course, Connell is And honestly, I feel like that added so much to the character and to the dynamics of the friends. And also Willow also being a queer character in the story, just like I think Connell being a non-binary character also just like gave so much more to the backstory of Connell and Willow and them discovering their queerness and sexuality together as a couple back in the day. Even though that wasn't seen on screen, I feel like it just, yeah, I loved it. That was so special to me as well, because I also wanted D-Lan to reflect like my life and experience in my friend groups and like in my circles. And although like in the original story written by a 16-year-old, like the characters were very binary, it was so awesome to be able to like add that layer of context that we created with ourselves and I as the writer like put in. And I just think each person brought so much. But yeah.
Absolutely.
They were beautiful contributions. I'll say too, I think like the non-binary component, because for those who don't know the story of Drinking Licorice at Night, there's kind of two sets of best friends, but even though those are like distinct pairings, each best friend kind of has a connection to the opposite pair. So there's like old flames from high school. Like there's, you know, kind of these interwoven relationships between all four characters. And there's a little bit of like, there's platonic love floating around. There's romantic love floating around. It's kind of like going between everyone in every which way. Like,
and that's not binary either. Like that's like, yeah.
I think the, ooh, fun.
Excuse me. It's getting hot in here.
I think the non-binary character really emphasizes that to be like ambiguity and like there's love. What kind of love is it? Mm-hmm. There's expression. What kind of expression is it? Like, and you just embodied that really beautifully. Let's relate it to, you were also in
Trone.
Josh Bradley Garrido. I feel like I always pronounce their last name incorrectly. Did I say it correctly? Is that how you say it? Garrido? So, okay. So. Shout out, Josh. You're amazing.
Shout out, Josh. Icon. They just wrapped their thesis film yesterday.
Prior film, Chrome, Ethan stars in.
And got an award for acting.
Real?
Best actor.
True.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah, true.
Can you tell us a little bit about that character and maybe how, because that is a masculine character you're playing in that film, maybe how that was like a little bit different to Connell, or like what your approach to that was versus Connell?
Yeah, totally. They're interesting because Bryant is the character I was playing in Chrome. And
can you give us a synopsis of Chrome also? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. It's about two best friends.
Hey!
Whoa!
Two best friends.
Also a bit homoerotic, sorry.
It's absolutely, but we'll get there. it's about two best friends who are Taekwondo competitors together. They fight, they spar with one another, and it's they have a long-standing friendship. They compete together. It's like they are at the dojang constantly. But there's been like some weird tension bubbling up between them that's gone unspoken, particularly for the other character named Jay, who's played by Adrian Hose. And he is like feeling very insecure within himself, and he's like a man about it. So he's pushing it down and keeping it in his body and in his stomach, and he's not trying to talk about it, and it's getting in the way of us, and it's like really bringing this tension to a boil between us. Mm. And my character, Bryant, is in some ways the cause of that tension. Like he's very confident, very secure, once again, like very comfortable, kind of similarly to Connell. Mm. But he just doesn't feel that tension. Like it's just not there for him to a degree that he's even unaware sometimes that Jay is suffering from it. Mm. So it is talking about masculinity a lot and breaking down platonic masculinity with one another and the way that love can be confused and conflated within male relationships. Mm. So from the get-go, it was a commentary on masculinity. I want to be a part of that because I've lived so much of my life having to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I want to get in it because it was a Taekwondo film, and I was so stoked about it. And Josh is also a B-boy and a breaker.
Hey.
So I was like, I got a chance
to... Is a B-boy a black belt? Or what's a B-boy?
It should be!
Yeah, true.
Like a breakdancer, like a B-boy.
Yeah. Oh,
like a
oh B-boy. Yes. Yes, I knew that.
I was once referred to as a beat girl.
B-girl.
B-girl.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got the chance to to break in it and do Taekwondo and do this talking about masculinity, and it was so fascinating to be a part of it. But it was also a male character, and at the beginning I was having a lot of difficulty, especially because I needed to be a strong, confident, straight spine man.
Shirts off here.
And shirtless constantly.
So it was again, McConnell.
Like, yeah, I know. I get naked on camera, and I don't know what it is. But I was having trouble with that for a while. But Josh, who was also a queer director, was like very much at one point in one rehearsal. They said to me that like, yes, Brian is a man. Like he uses he/him pronouns, but at the same time, like he is experiencing gender euphoria. Mm. And I was like, oh. Okay, I can.
Yeah.
No, okay, that is something that I know. It is something when I wear a skirt and I wear a dress and I do my hair in a specific way and I am able to access this version of me that's so much more pure and so true.
Mm.
Like that euphoria is something that I know how to access. Not being a man, like the idea of being a man was so difficult for me to get in with, but just the idea of experiencing that euphoria from a queer place allowed me to access that. And I thought that was one of the most brilliant pieces of direction I got throughout the entire process. And it made Brian's character so much more accessible to me.
Yeah.
Go Josh.
Yeah,
Josh is an incredible director. And also, like, understands the intersectionality of masculinity. I mean, that it was a script that they wrote. And, like,
Well, can I say, too, like, do you think the past experiences that you have as an actor inform the future ones? Or like, you know, do you feel like these experiences are kind of building in terms of your repertoire and how you're able to get into characters? Or do you feel like they're all kind of discrete individual processes that you take on?
Well, it's definitely expanding my comfortability being an actor. Like, it is more comfortable for me to be on camera than it used to be, partly because I know that I need to not watch my own films necessarily as much. I still have trouble with that.
Are you gonna watch D-Lan?
I will, but
you watch the final product.
There you go.
You're so good. Like, honestly, I was just I like didn't sit through the assembly cut with my editor, and usually, like, that's kind of like, it's killing your darlings when you're watching. It's hard to watch, but I was actually genuinely so happy with everything. There was not a moment in the acting where I was like, because you guys were all so comfortable and such friends with each other and improvised so well, like, oh, it's just so good. It's so good. So, tooting my own horn there.
There you go.
Thank you.
But,
toot away.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry.
No, but you did ask a really good question.
Oh.
I think that it was with D-Lan, it was the first time that I was like, maybe I can't play a man. Like, I don't want to do that. It's really hard on me. And I had done it in other projects prior. And, you know, on set, it's a busy time. People start referring to you with the same characters, pronouns, and names get dropped and interchanged. And it's like, oh, that's not me. That's my character. And there's some difficulty that is often faced with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is, like, an intention for the future, if I'm going to be a part of something acting-wise, that it has to check a couple boxes. Like, one of them has to be maybe it's a queer set or I'm playing a non-binary character. Which there should just be more of. So if there is an opportunity for me to make that the case, I would love to.
Yeah. Writers. Writers, be writing non-binary characters into your scripts.
Please. Just focus on the energy.
Yeah, that, like, rather than, no, like, let's... We don't need to prescribe. Like, there... Yeah. Even... Yeah. There's so... Yeah. There's no need to gender them immediately. Like, focus on the energy. That's a great note.
Yeah. So those are a couple of things. And then, once again, if somebody makes a Taekwondo movie, it's like, ah, whatever.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Let's get into it now.
I will suffer in other ways to make that possible, because there are things that I just, like, hold as such high respect and high regard that will probably inform things as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Ideally, I would just like to have my pronouns respected and my identity represented.
100%.
The bar is so low.
It's so low.
We're rising to meet it. That's real.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on sets where, like, my pronouns are displayed on the wall in the dressing room, and it's wrong. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Like, she heard. I'm like, well,
all that effort. Just
also, like, I'll be literally playing a non-binary character, and they will refer to me and my character as she. And I'm like, guys, like, come on, let's do a little bit better. Before we wrap up, I just want to circle back to Ethan's presence on YouTube as a filmmaker, Chocolate Milk Art Collective. if there's anything coming up for that, or if you have any, I don't know, thoughts, feelings, or plans with that company and channel.
Thoughts on posting your films on YouTube also?
Yes. Yeah, well, I've been doing that. That's been the modus operandi so far of our our collective.
Latin.
Something. I hope I get that right. But no, I believe in YouTube as a platform for filmmakers. I believe in the access to information, really. Yeah. I believe in sharing content for free. I believe in creating, like, just it is the best place to you know, send someone a link. It's so easy. It loads so quickly. There's so much freedom to share and be discovered also. Like, there's so much. It's great for long form content. I love YouTube for that reason.
Hi, YouTube watchers.
Hi, YouTube.
If you're watching on YouTube.
Hey.
Thanks to Ethan, we're on YouTube.
I love it here.
I love this digital space.
And my inspirations for filmmaking, especially at this scale, are all hosted on YouTube already. It's like, I would never be where I am if not for YouTube.
Name names.
Jack Stauber for number one. He's a fantastic musician, animator, and filmmaker. That's number one. Vune, Victoria Vincent, great animator. Awesome. Cat City is the best one. But yes, for the Chocolate Milk Art Collective, we do just have so many things that are in the stores. Like, we have, I think, 16 films that are on there right now, if you count some earlier stuff.
I thought you meant, like, coming up.
I know, I thought you meant...
Holy moly!
I thought you meant you were cooking 16 films. I was like...
I think we've got maybe four that are in the editing right now.
Yeah.
And then we have some more scripts that we're hoping to work on soon. But, yeah, university's getting in the way, so...
This is what I was saying to Ethan during our break. I was like, I feel like once I'm finished my film degree, I will make my return to YouTube because I need, like, it just gets, like, the outlets are just, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to need to lock into that stuff soon enough, and I'm very, very excited, too. The Tap Dancing Fish isn't even posted on YouTube yet, but it can be. It will be.
Have you submitted it to festivals?
Yes, it's done most of its festival circuit. I think that there are some things about it that are kind of being excluded from the circuit.
Yeah.
Specific aspects about the editing, maybe specific aspects about its length. Like, it's 23 minutes long. It's very inconveniently lengthed.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to cut those. Like, I've tried making edits, but it's just not possible.
Yeah.
But all the better. It'll be on YouTube in its entirety, in its pure format for everyone and all to see, and we'll throw a big party about it. And it'll be the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it had a beautiful premiere at the Norm Theater. I remember that. There was a lot of love in that room.
There was, yeah. I'd never realized that the community would show up like that for something that we did.
Show up and show out. For real.
Yeah, seriously. It was absolutely brilliant. So I feel fulfilled. That was good enough. I don't need a festival award. I don't need this acclaim. I just want those people to have been happy to be a part of it, and the people who saw it to be somewhat inspired to do the same thing.
Yay. I think they were.
I feel inspired. George is tired.
Oh, goodness. I know. I'm so sorry.
This is the second yawn in the episode.
You know, I didn't even say over the hiatus I had a tonsillectomy.
Oh, yeah. Georgia had her tonsils removed.
Oh, no. It's like every time I yawn, it's
and
like so painful.
She is still in recovery. So we are all blessed to be graced with her voice today.
Thank you.
And face.
Thank you.
For those YouTube watchers.
Yeah. I think... Ethan, I'm so happy that we got to have you today.
I know, me too. I think it's perfect. This, our new team member, you're going to be here for all the episodes. Oh, right. We have a surprise for you. You absolutely don't know what it is, but since this is a picnic, we thought that maybe...
What's in the basket?
We should gift you or get you something that you might like to bring to your next picnic.
It was a gift enough to be here.
Oh
stop that.
Maltesers!
I love a little treat in the basket.
Yeah. You said that your favorite movie snack was Maltesers. So.
Yeah, dude, they're goat. Have you guys had these?
Yes. They're very popular in Australia. I thought they were Australian until I saw them here.
I think they're British. Like, that's why the Commonwealth.
Well, right. In the U.S., they have things called Whoppers, which are essentially, it's like malt.
Whoppers.
Covered in chocolate.
Are they really?
So different.
I was going to say I ate way too many Whoppers as a child. I used to really love them. Ate too many, got sick off them. And, like, now I can't eat malt.
Okay, well, they're still pretty similar.
Okay, yeah. So, like, but it is malt. That's what it is. Yeah.
But, I'm just being semantic because I really like these.
No, for real.
It's also kind of hard to get a hang of, so thank you guys.
You're welcome. I got you.
Awesome. Ethan,
thank you so much for being
here. Thanks for being here.
We love you. We're grateful for you. We're so happy to have you as a part of the team. We're so excited.
We've chatted directing, acting, honestly some very good advice about
coronavirus